One thing I think about pretty often is what makes a performance bagger. So we kind of have a loose definition of what makes a performance bagger, what falls into that performance bagger category. And I think that can be a good thing because it leaves a lot of things open to interpretation. Now, for me personally, I have three favorite categories of Harley styles. Like, you know, just aesthetically, when I look at them, they're so pleasing to me and just kind of give me a romanticism about riding. And number one is choppers, like David Mann style choppers, like 48 pan heads and, you know, beautiful raked out choppers and stuff like that. Someday I'll build one when finances allow. I probably won't ride it much just because of, I don't think my body could handle it at this point, but I would love to own one day. I'd love to build one out, whether, you know, it's a shovel or a pan head or something like that. My second favorite category is the club style world, whether it's an FXR or Dyna, that aesthetic, that stance, you know, the T-sport fairing, the tall T-bars, that is one of my favorite styles in Harley Davidson culture. And my third favorite is performance baggers. Like, I love the way performance baggers look, not only because touring bikes are my favorite bikes to ride because of the comfort they provide, and right now the type of riding that I enjoy doing most is touring. And when it comes to the performance bagger category, I feel like this genre, this arena, is a little bit in its infancy if you compare it to the other two categories I mentioned. So choppers have obviously been around for a very long time, and we know that there is a very wide spectrum of what is considered a chopper, and there's very many ways to do it. Like, if you go to Born Free shows, or, you know, Virginia City Roundup, or chopper shows in general, the David Mann Chopper Fest, things like that, and you see the vast variety of different types of chopper builds that we have, but there are some common threads throughout them that kind of hold it all together and say, yeah, this fits in this category, so to speak. And the same thing with the club style world. The club style world has a lot of variety in it as well. You can build a club style bike on very many platforms. And, you know, while it kind of all fits into that similar aesthetic, there's still a lot of variety in it, and there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. I think what sets the performance bagger category in a different lens in my mind is the fact that it has the word performance in it. And this kind of almost makes me feel like performance is required in order for it to make it into that category. And so I look at my own bike and I feel like I almost have like a reverse sleeper or like a poser build because I like that performance bagger style. And if I say performance bagger, you're probably picturing some sort of performance bagger in your mind. And as you picture that, there's a certain aesthetic that kind of goes naturally in your mind. You think performance bagger, and there's an image in your mind of aesthetically what that bike looks like. So when it comes to myself, I don't really need those modifications. I don't need race suspension. I don't need a super high performance motor. I'm good with my stock 117 on my Road Glide ST. And that sometimes makes me feel like I'm kind of like doing the window dressing of a performance bagger without really doing the things that I feel are more valid to categorizing a bike as a performance bagger. Like, performance bagger, the basic things you're going to look at is performance, handling. You're going to look at suspension, handling, lean angle, output of power for the engine. So when I think of a performance bagger, I'm thinking of, you know, the bikes that Laidlaw's has built and the bikes that I saw on Matt's channel before I started working there. And then I started working there and I saw what Andrew was doing to his Road King. And Andrew's Road King kind of set the bar for me in a sub-genre category within performance baggers, where it's almost like pro touring. So Andrew has a Stage 4 kit in his 107 Road King, but it has a lot of the aesthetics of a performance bagger. So this is where it kind of gets confusing, because as we're coming up in the performance bagger world, we've got stretched bags on, you know, Road King Special, Street Glide Special, Road Glide Special, and a lot of guys were taking those stretched bags and shortening them up to shorter bags to increase the lean angle, right? So you have this weird viewpoint of like, yeah, I'm doing a performance modification to what this bike started out as. But a Road King standard has short bags on it already. So is that already a performance bike? Not really. So I think culturally, this performance bagger arena is kind of shifting into a stylistic type of build or curation. So we're not really fabricating much on bikes anymore. Technology has come so far. Parts manufacturers have such great tolerances that all this stuff just bolts on. And that's good for us as the consumer, and it's good for the business people who are making these parts as well. We've done a lot of really cool builds. I've seen a lot of really cool bikes come through the shop that have inverted front end, you know, carbon fiber, BST race wheels, 131 kits, super powerful motors, and, you know, a bunch of carbon fiber stuff to lighten up the bike and to make it perform better. And sometimes I wrestle with myself because I like a lot of those aesthetics, but I'm not really into the power side of it. I just don't really have an ROI on that. Like, my investment into doing some of those things, there's just no return on it. I'm just kind of dumping money into it to try to justify to myself that I actually have a performance bagger without actually finding any value in these upgrades. I've said it many times before, I'm probably using 30, 40% of what my 117 can do. And I just don't really need to do any type of engine modifications. While I'd love to do a stage two and I'd love to get more lope out of it and have a better sound, I'm not really chasing any additional power, and I'm not really married to, oh, I'm going to do a power cam or a torque cam. Like, the bike runs fine how it is for my use case. I almost feel like that lope cam sound is an aesthetic preference rather than a performance preference. But if you guys have been watching me for any amount of time, you know I like to make predictions. I like to kind of see where things are going, and I like to predict what's going to happen in the future and kind of how these trends go up and down. And you can really only understand where things are going if you pay attention to how things were in the past. I think another factor that kind of helps us out from the motor company is that most of us don't really need more power than what a factory bike comes as. So if you're looking at a 117, you know, 2022 and newer 117, like on the Roguelite Streaklite ST, and then you move into the new 117 with the water cooled heads of the 2425 stuff, I'm hearing a lot of guys tell me that they don't really need to do anything to it. Like, they're kind of like where I'm at, where, yeah, I'd love to throw a cam in it to get a better sound, but I'm not looking for any more power. It's plenty sufficient. And I feel like that performance bagger kind of nods towards you are getting more performance than what the bike had in its stock form. So you're improving major categories that are related to performance, like speed, horsepower, torque, and increasing lean angle, improving the suspension so that it can corner better and ride better. And while I love the look of performance bagger suspension, I think reservoir rear shocks look great, inverted front ends look great, BST carbon fiber wheels look great. Where I'm at right now in my riding style does not necessitate any of those products. You know, I used to be in the Jeep world, and there was this kind of joke going around in the Jeep world that, you know, if you're going to be off-roading with your Jeep, you need lockers. And everybody would have LED lights before they'd have lockers. And it was kind of a thing where lockers before lights, like, don't forget to do the important things, because what do you need your lights for if you can't even go off-road, or you're going to get stuck and somebody's going to have to pull you out? So in some ways, I kind of feel like I'm doing that with my Roguelite, where I'm putting all the lights on it and I'm not doing the lockers. And I know it's my bike, I can do whatever I want to it, but we're in kind of an interesting point with the culture shift around this category of bike and how we're moving from a very performance-oriented approach and now incorporating things that make a little bit more sense in the touring sense. So over the last 10 to 15 years, as this category has gained a lot of attention, we've seen the motor sizes grow from stock form. So back then you were having, you know, twin cam 96s, 103s, 110s coming out of the factory, to now these 121s that are coming out of the factory. And well, how fast do you need it to be? Like, a 117 in stock form for most average riders, even if you want to do performance stuff, you're at a much higher launching point than you would be if you were buying a stock 96. And I suppose this is a different conversation if you're just building out a race bike. But most of us, I don't think, are building out a $65,000+ race bike. Most of us are looking at some of the things from the performance bagger category and picking and choosing the little things that we want to apply to our actual touring bike. Like, we're not tearing out our headlights and shaving weight in that sense, because for most of us, we're still riding our bikes on the road. And primarily, I would say most of us are 99% riding on the road, and you absolutely need a headlight for that. So a performance bagger in that sense of building a race bike, if that's what a performance bagger means, it doesn't really apply to most of the people that are in the industry. So I find it interesting to think about, you know, what are the benchmarks and what are, you know, the unified agreed things that we as a community decide that, like, yeah, if it doesn't have XYZ, it's not a performance bagger. And, you know, a lot of guys would say this about bike builds, you know, the build not bought kind of thing. And, you know, there was a lot of inverse, like, bought not built. And, you know, a lot of guys would say, well, you're not building a bike if you're not fabricating anything. So if you're just bolting stuff on, that's not a bike build. That's a curated set of parts that are bolted on. And this is not to downplay if you have bolt-on parts. Everything that I buy fits my bike and it's bolt-on parts. It's not to downplay what that is. It's just, does that actually fit the definition of the word? You know, originally a bike build meant that you were fabricating original parts for that bike. Similar thing with the chopper world. Originally, you know, you were chopping part of the frame and changing something about the frame, and that's what made it a chopper. But even now, as things have evolved, there's plenty of bikes out there that have, you know, 6, 9, 12 over on the front, and they still got a swing arm, and we call them swing arm chops, and they're not chopped, they're just swing arm chops. So they still kind of fit in the category there, but they're, you know, towing the line on the outside fringe of what that category includes. And as I've been paying attention over the last few years of working in the industry, working at Laidlaw's, talking with a lot of people who do a lot of really cool bike builds, you start to see people that are moving away from the race specific stuff and moving a little bit more towards comfort, ergonomics, and things that might apply more to what they're doing on their motorcycle for the vast majority of their riding. So it's similar to like when you buy a bike, you're looking at, okay, well, what's my use case for the bike? And, you know, a lot of people are comparing the Lowrider ST and the Road Glide. And if you're comparing those two bikes, you're looking at, well, not only what are the differences of these bikes, but how do those differences apply to me and my use case? That's how you can find your personal value proposition and say, okay, well, you know, I see that the Road Glide is better at XYZ, but those things don't matter to me. Ergo, the Road Glide is not a better bike than the Lowrider ST. And the same could be said in the opposite direction. And this is how categories like performance bagger can kind of evolve and become a little bit more inclusive, because they include a lot of different variety, similar to choppers. Choppers include a very, very wide variety of different styles of bikes. Like, there's not one certain color that you have to be in order to be a chopper. There's not one certain engine that you have to have in order for you to be a chopper. There's plenty of choppers out there that are built on Yamaha XS650s or, you know, Triumph Bonneville twin motors. But when you see a chopper, you know it's a chopper. When you see a club style bike, you know it's a club style bike. But when you see a performance bagger style bike, do we know if it's actually had any performance enhancing mods done to it? My bike certainly hasn't. I got a set of rear suspension and a set of T-bars on it, but I didn't increase my lean angle. I didn't significantly improve my suspension. If I wanted to improve my suspension, I'd really be looking at the front end and tuning the front to the back. And I've done zero as far as performance work goes. I have a pair of slip-on mufflers on it. So I'm interested to see how we evolve into this. You guys let me know. I love chatting with you guys in the comments. What do you think? What makes a performance bagger a performance bagger? Is there some sort of unified agreement that we have? Because what we picture in our heads is very much an aesthetic thing. Like, it probably has a step-up seat or a lapera seat. It probably has a two-into-one of some kind. It probably has T-bars or risers and bars, you know, and other things that have not much to do with anything with performance. But, you know, the Baja lights on the front, Santoro style engine guards, a lot of these things we can say, okay, yeah, that makes sense because that goes on a performance style build, whether or not the bike has been built out to perform any better than it did in its original state. I think it's a fun topic to talk about, and I'd love to hear what you guys think. As always, if you made it this far, thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.